is Angry Tom. Pretty happy today because I got to interview the other day a lady who just celebrated her 97th birthday. A lot of this I'm going to repeat probably when you hear the recording that I'm about to play. But I went to the nursing home that she's at and recorded an interview with her, and we're going to play that interview in just a minute. Anyway, her name is Mrs. Carol Knapp. Now, quite simply, my family and very close friends know that Mrs. Knapp was like a mother to me growing up. And I love this woman very much. In some of my darkest moments as a small child, she showed me love and let me know that there's good people in the world. And I needed her love, and she knew I needed it, and she gave it to me. She was such a beautiful woman, and she's never, ever forgotten me. We've kept in touch our entire lives. In case you don't know, I'm approaching 70 years old. She's 97. So we've been friends probably from, used to go over to her house when I was about like 5 years old. Used to sneak across to Ann Arbor Trail and sit outside her window. So anyway, Mrs. Knapp is conservative. She's like me. She has a child that's conservative, and she has some children that are liberal. But we wanted to just have a nice interview. I don't think we talk about politics all that much, but we do, I think, talk about some politics. And let me, without further ado, just go ahead and play that interview. Okay, there we go. Hi, this is Angry Tom. That's the name of my podcast, Mrs. Knapp. And I'm with my mom, Mrs. Carol Knapp. She just turned this week 90. Am I supposed to say?
No, this.
Okay. Well, in 3 years, we're going to celebrate a monumental birthday. So you can figure out the math.
So it's 97.
Oh, there you go.
And then I can yodel too. Yodel-y-yodel-y-yodel-y.
Now, I have yet to talk about Mrs. Knapp on the podcast, but she was a very, and still is, but in my youth, I had a mother that showed me no love. And matter of fact, just shortly before her death, she finally explained to me why she didn't like me. And it was the dumbest reason I ever heard, but I accepted it. And she said to me, "Tommy, the reason I disliked you so much, you were the one child most like your father." And they had a very volatile relationship for most of their life. It actually got better in their elder years where they drew closer together. But as kids growing up in a family of eight, we had some rocky times. Both my parents were alcoholics, and things were tough around our house. But especially for me, a kid that was... I always needed love, and I always knew where to get it. I had to just cross Ann Arbor Trail, go over to this red wooden fence, and if I climbed over it, this lady would scream at me, and then we would have milk and cookies, and she would invite me in. So a lot of times I would behave, which is, no, I shouldn't say a lot. Sometimes I would behave.
Once in a while.
Yeah, once in a while I would behave, and I would sneak over. They were in a tri-level, and the last window that faced Hicks Road going south was their kitchen window. And Mrs. Knapp has a voice of an angel, and I would sneak up to that window, and I would sit there, and I would just listen to her sing while she did the dishes. And every now and then she'd look up and catch me, and she just thought it was the most cutest thing. But I would sit there and just you know,
listen.
Yeah, I would listen to her beautiful singing. And Mrs. Knapp has how many beautiful kids?
Four.
Four beautiful kids, Kelly being the only girl. Kelly was a Miss Livonia. She's actually a famous country music performer. Her band, what was the name of the band?
The Darlins.
The Darlins. They were, I think they were the upcoming...
Darlins. and then she had Bristol's.
The Bristol's. Anyway, I do remember they were voted the upcoming country band of the year.
They were just in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, my gosh.
Like last month.
Yeah, okay. So Kelly got from her mother not only beauty, but she got a beautiful singing voice. So she took after her mom in that respect. Now, I don't think we'll talk about their political persuasions. We'll let that go. But this will be on my podcast forever. But I came to visit Mrs. Knapp a couple months ago, and I don't think in our life we ever talked politics, but we started talking politics, and she kind of shocked me because her husband worked for the motor company, General Motors, and I falsely assumed that they were Democrats because a good portion of the people who work in automobile industry are Democrats. They think only the Democrats help the automobile industry. As we know today with President Trump, that's not true. He is helping the automobile industry when the Democrats are killing it with electric vehicles. So President Trump is the one really bringing back the automobile industry. But anyway, so when I found out Mrs. Knapp was actually a Republican, it shocked me. So I do, and I'm going to ask her questions that I didn't ask her the last time, but it now makes sense to me. You grew up on a farm, didn't you?
Yes.
All right. So in general, in America, most of our farmers are conservative, I believe.
Anyway. I think so.
Right.
I come from Orfordville, Wisconsin, which is way out in the sticks. And, farmland people, you know, milk the cows before we could even go to a free show. It was depression time for me.
Right.
You know. We didn't have electricity or running water. But we got a radio, and my dad, every Saturday, would go up to, Orfordville, which was about 4 miles from us, and get a whole sack of Mound bars. And then he'd come back, and we'd sit around that radio and listen to the National Barn Dance in Chicago.
Cool.
Yeah. And then I learned how to yodel through Patsy Montana, who was part of the program. So us kids, that's the way we started.
You would just mimic her from coming across the radio?
Yeah.
Oh, how cool.
And then she played the guitar, and there was three of us girls, my sisters, two sisters and I. And then then my grandfather got Joan, my older sister, and then he passed away now, but he got her guitar, and then we started playing, and then we went in a trio, and we started yodeling, and so I can yodel. You want me to yodel?
Go ahead.
Well, I can yodel, but I'm not great, so maybe why don't you join me, huh?
Oh, no.
Yodely, 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 yodely,
She's also a great pianist. We used to, that's one thing her and my mom had in common. They both play the piano. Now, the other thing I wanted to talk about before we get too much into politics, what is the red hat thing? We came over to your house for a Christmas one day.
Right. So after I'd written my book, done, and took me some years.
What's the title of your book?
Nothing Ventured, Nothing Gained. And my father used to say that all the time.
Can somebody get it off Amazon or anything like that? Is it marketable?
No, it's not on
the
market.
Okay, all right, now, all right,
yeah.
Thank you.
So this happened like 20, what, it was 2000, so it's long.
Okay.
And then I read an article about the Red Hat Club, and it's a group of ladies, and it's worldwide, really. They have chapters all over.
Mm-hmm.
And you wear bright, fluffy hats, red, bright red, not orangey red, but it has to be bright red, Christmas red. And then you wear purple from the neck down.
Is there significance to the color scheme?
I don't know. That was a woman thing, and that's the way they do it.
Right.
So I started out with six ladies that I had come in, and then I ended up with 100.
Wow.
So, and we go to the Fisher Theater and the Limousine, or we try a lot of fun different things.
So it's a big social club.
Yeah, yeah, you can go, I was Queen Mom, I was the, and the name of our chapter was Ladies of the Red Hat Brigade.
Cool.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. And I did that for 20 years until I came into the assisted living.
Okay, how nice. Okay, back to
politics. They still call me Queen Mom, but I'm not doing much now.
Right. Now, why do you like President Trump?
Okay, President Trump, I like because he does what he says he's going to do. And he not only talks about it, but he gets it done.
Right.
And the way he's been treated is just unbelievable. And it seems to me that the more they nag at him about things, some that he hasn't even done, the more popular it gets.
Right.
And I think this term, he's even more popular because I think, like, today I had YouTube on, and he had men from all kinds of businesses, and he was just talking to them just like you and I are talking. And you know, when he gets people in big groups and talks to them, they believe him, you know.
Right.
And it's just, it's great. I have him on, keep up with him. The only thing that I feel that, and it's because I don't know the full story, is I sort of wish he'd left Canada alone. But I don't know, I'm not him, and I'm not in his job, and I don't know what's going on.
See, I know what he's doing.
Well, the tariff.
Well, yeah, but the premier of Canada, Trudeau, is a far left-wing liberal. They say he's actually Castro's illegitimate child. All right? Oh, you haven't heard that? Oh, yeah. And that's in the, you know, what do you call it? The conspiracy world.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he's a liberal. Mm-hmm. So Trump, as you know, likes to tweak liberals. He knows how to push their buttons.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He loves that. So, yeah, Trudeau he's like Nancy Pelosi in a suit. But anyway, so Trump loves to tune them up. And by calling them the governor of our 51st state drives Trudeau nuts. So, and you gotta, a lot of people don't realize Donald Trump truly is a native New Yorker. And I think personally, I always tell people, I don't like him as a person, I love him as a president. Because he does a lot of childish things. But New Yorkers are famous for punching back. So anytime somebody insults him, His upbringing says, I have to insult you worse.
Father told him that.
Right, right. That's the way he was raised.
Just win, you know, just
right.
win.
Right, always win at any cost.
Exactly.
So, do I agree with some of his behavior? No, like when he used to tweet all the time, and they were, you know, he used to be on Twitter, and he was really like a six-year-old. He used to drive me nuts, because I used to say, you know, you're not being very presidential. I love your policies. They're great for America. And that's what gets me about Democrats today. They're fighting against President Trump, whose one mission is to make America good again.
Yes.
He said make America great again, but he's trying his best to make America work for America, and who's fighting him?
You know, I love the fight in him.
Right.
I love the fight, and you know,
I have to ring the golden bell.
Okay.
We both love the fight in him. That means I totally agree. I love the fact that he's a fighter.
Yes, you know, so many people peter out after, you know, they say their views, and then, you know, then they can be drugged by the wayside. But he just hangs in there, and it doesn't make any difference who he's talking to.
Right.
You know, and that makes me believe in him even more. The only thing that I wish that he didn't do is use the word hell a lot.
Well, you might not want to ever listen to my podcast because I use this F word a lot.
Oh, you don't.
Oh, yes, I do. I'm a potty mouth.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you that. I used to watch well, I still watch her, but Megyn Kelly, you know.
Mm-hmm. I know that.
And all of a sudden, she's taken over using that word a lot, what you use.
Right.
And I'm thinking, you know.
By the way, my wife hates that I use that word. Mana gets me.
It's not a, you know, and I'm going to get the soap out there, Tommy.
I know you would. Well, like I always tell people, you realize I work in a prison environment, and you have to, well, let me tell you a quick story. I don't think I told this on my podcast. When I first hired in to work for the state of Michigan, my interview, the director of our academy says to me, do you swear? I said, no, sir, I'm a Christian. I don't swear. He goes, oh, you will. I said, no, I won't. He goes, no, you will. He said, if you're going to come and work in the prisons, you'll be swearing before you know it. And I found out after a short time, the only way you can relate to a prisoner is get down to their level of talking. If I said, oh, sir, would you please pull your pants back up? I don't want to see your butt cheeks. They're not going to do it. But if I swear at them and use guttural language, he'll do it immediately.
You know, you feel that they know that you mean it, right?
Right.
But, yeah. But then, see, that puts you in the same category as them. You know, if you use the word, you're lowering yourself.
I understand. The Bible says evil words come from an evil mind and defile the man who speaks them. I know the Bible. I'm a chaplain.
I know.
I know, but you gotta.
But here, how can you be a chaplain and swear?
Oh, trust me, there's thousands of people out there. Matter of fact, Mana and I were laughing the other day because she remembers the time I was leading a prayer in front of a group. And I use the F word in the prayer.
Oh, no.
Because I got really mad about what I was praying about.
Oh,
and it slipped.
Yeah, but you know.
So she says, I'm the only chaplain she's ever heard of.
Trump is that way. Because, you know, he'll say, oh, well, you know, it's like sort of almost catch himself that, you know, maybe he's used it too much, you know. But he does do that. And when it's supposed to be something that. Oh, and he has to be careful when he goes into a church. Same thing, see?
Right.
He goes into church, and he should remember that you don't swear in here. Well, now I hear something even worse.
I'm going to lose favorite son status if I keep this up. But
yeah, watch yourself.
Yeah, yes. I'm kind of lucky she's
up there. But I
want
to tell you, whoever is listening, this is the kindest guy in the whole world. And I've loved him for years and years and years. And I would write a song and sing it to him if I could write the song. But he's good. And what you're listening to, and when he says that word that he shouldn't say, you know, you just sort of think of something else.
Yeah. Think flowers. Flowers start with that. Yeah, think flowers. You know.
But I love him to bits. Uh-huh. And he's my adopted son. I'm going to adopt him one of these days. Mm-hmm. But I'm 97, and he's how old are you?
I'll be 70 on the 4th of July.
Oh, see, but you'll have such an old mother.
Yeah, I'm just a youngster.
You know, Kevin is 70.
Right.
Just turned 70. And in fact, they had a little do-sink up in the where he lives. Clarkston.
Yeah, up in Clarkston.
And so he gets up the phone and the microphone. He says, it's not everybody that can be 70-year-old and have his 96-year-old mother come to his party.
Right. No, that's a blessing. Absolutely. I always tell people they don't realize how lucky they are to have a parent alive. Because I don't have either parent.
Exactly.
You miss them your parents are gone. You miss them every single day. You think of them. So people are blessed that still have their parents. But then on the other hand, I remember, you know, I went to Churchill with your kids. I remember in high school, actually even in Lowell, junior high, people lost their parents. That young.
Yeah,
in their 30s and 40s. I know.
It's not always old age.
Right. Yeah, we're blessed to, like, my mom lived a long time. My dad lived a good amount of time. I was blessed every day.
Write a book, Tommy.
Can I use the F word in it?
Undercover. It's the best thing you can do for your children. best thing. Because, you know, like you said, once they're gone, they're gone. And if you can put your feelings down on paper so that after you're gone, the kids can, you know.
Right.
And I now write poems, because I can't get out and get gifts. So I write each of them a poem about themselves.
Right.
Or I call them up, if they were born at 5 o'clock in the morning, I call them up on that time.
Wake them up that early? Oh, wait, you wake them up at the time they were born?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
I look on their birth certificate.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I was born, I think, at like 3:40 a.m., and I weighed 3 pounds, 4 ounces.
Oh, no way. Look at you now.
Yeah. Well, you remember a preemie in 1955, that was a miracle.
Yeah.
I was supposed to be born September the 21st, which happens to be the mother of my children's birthday. That was my due date. But I was born on the 4th of July. So I was born 2.5 months early. So I only weighed 3 pounds, 4 ounces. Yeah, my mom had pictures of me in her hand.
Oh,
so, but I often say, and this is personal, but because I had to spend almost 2.5 months in an incubator, that's why I needed a woman's love so much. I needed that love. I was in the incubator when I should have been held.
Yeah.
You know, I should have been close to my mom, and I wasn't. So I've always desired, you know, the love of a woman.
You know, like when Kevin was born, he didn't breathe for 20 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And they were watching him close. Well, Joe's father was there, and he was paying the nurses, giving them money to make sure that they
wow.
were. And so the doctor says, well, you must have led an awfully good life for him to pull through.
Wow.
So now he's 70, you know.
Yeah, what a blessing. No, I didn't know he had problems. My one child, my baby girl, Jennifer, the first two children, when they were born, obstetrician nurses handed her the baby right away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got to be there because I was a firefighter.
Mm-hmm.
So when the third child was born, she came out blue. The umbilical cord was wrapped twice around her neck. And Julie, my wife at that time, knew something was wrong because they didn't hand her the baby.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching them perform CPR over on a table, mm-hmm. trying to get her back to life. And lying to her the whole time. Oh, she's fine. She came out a mess. They're cleaning her up. But I know I'm watching. They're giving her infant CPR. And finally, the color came back and she started breathing. But, that was for me, that was one of the scariest moments of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I thought, oh my God, I lost my child. But,
yeah. And then how they grow up and they're,
right.
But yeah, now see, but getting back to writing, that's my goal up here. My goal is to teach all the ladies how to yodel. I teach the ladies all how to yodel. And the other thing is I talk to them about writing. It's so important. Here they're at this age and they think, well, I always thought about writing, but I didn't know how to get started.
How long did it take you to write the book?
3 years.
3 years.
That's slow because it was my first attempt. And you talked about your mom and the reason why she didn't like you. It's in that book of how when it ever come down to brass tacks, with my mother and I, she went to a psychiatrist at the end, and they said that there was something in me that she didn't like in herself.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
I've heard that before, yeah?
Yeah.
Right. No.
So,
I think they call it like broadcasting or something, but the psychiatric term. But that person broadcasts what.
I look just like my mother. So.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
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 And I look just like my father. So.
Yeah, well.
He was a very good looking man. But anyway.
My mother was too. My father used to say when he met my mother, he said she had the most beautiful long auburn hair that you will ever see.
Wow. Now, real quick, back to politics. Yeah. Were you ever a Democrat? You always voted
because
Republican.
Because
right.
My father, you know.
Right.
And just for the record, I'm a sixth cousin to Herbert Hoover.
Oh my gosh.
And my father would never talk about him because he said when Hoover was in, all there was his breadlines.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, he really screwed up the country.
So he didn't think, you know.
Democrats think he was sliced bread.
But we had a relative of Herbert Hoover's come to our reunion. We had every year and had him over. Like, we're a big family. We had, you know, my father, there was 13 children in the
family.
I don't
think I ever asked you, what was your maiden name?
Grenewald. Grenewalt.
Wow.
But, and...
Isn't there a manufacturing company that makes...
Well, they came. They're Pennsylvania Dutch, and, you know, I'm French, English, Irish...
Oh, I'm thinking of DeWalt. Never mind.
DeWalt?
Yeah, DeWalt.
Oh, that's...
Yeah.
What is that?
They make power tools and
stuff.
Yeah. I'm thinking the same thing. I'm getting lost here. Okay.
But anyway, it's, you know, Pennsylvania Dutch, which is German, another name of German. But, you know, living in Wisconsin was strictly Republican. I know that Wisconsin can be Democratic, too, but it seems to me it's more like Madison, Wisconsin.
Well, yeah, it's all the Democrat cities
but you
destroy the election.
Right,
yeah, like in Michigan.
You go out in the country with the farmers and where they need things. And
I call it the thinking people.
Biden wasn't doing anything for them, but Trump is.
I love, and I wish Democrats would pay more attention to it, but after every election, they do a county map of the United States and how the votes went. And it's always 97% Republican. The only reason Democrats even win elections is because of the major metropolitan cities are so heavily Democrat. But most of America is conservative.
I want to tell you that the last one, Trump should have won the 2020.
Oh, yeah, they stole it. There's no doubt in my mind.
And then why aren't they digging into that? Because I wonder why is it so hard to get to the nitty-gritty of it?
Because they bury it all and they destroy the evidence. Like, okay, in Georgia, which was one of the states that the election was stolen from, by law, they're supposed to keep the ballots for a year in case there's any recount. They destroyed them within days.
Yeah. Right. Well, there you go.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, how about a lot of people, this is a true story. This isn't a conspiracy. There was a truck that drove from New York City to Pennsylvania, and the truck drivers let it be known. They went to the news and said, this truck is full of ballots. How are ballots coming from New York going to Pennsylvania? Right.
Well, I was thinking maybe they just buried him somewhere because he won that election.
Yeah, and there's no way that there were so many Republican governors, Republican senators, because across the country, Republicans did well the year Biden was elected. Only Trump got defeated. That's impossible. And also, this is a fact, Trump was the first president in that election who got more votes than he did in his first election, but he lost. How did he lose? Yeah, it had to have been a stolen. Mathematically, if you sit down on paper, the election clearly was stolen. How they did it, we're just, I really hope.
That's what I want to answer.
Yeah, I'm hoping Dan Bongino, I love Dan Bongino. He's now the second in command in the FBI. I'm hoping that they will look into this. I'm hoping they can.
They have good people in there now.
Right.
And he picked and chose the people that he wanted because he knew that they could do something and get the job done.
And they have to do it quickly because usually a Republican president only has 2 years because the voting public is stupid, put it simply. They always vote for the other party after 2 years. They don't think the president's doing a good job or I don't know what the reason is. It's just stupid. Here, I gotta give myself an attaboy. But anyway, they are. The American voters are dumb. And I've always said, vote out 100% of the Democrats. And I used to say 75% of the Republicans. But now I say 95% of the Republicans. They're all on the take. And that's what we're finding now, is Trump's, because of Elon Musk putting those computer wizards in place, they're finding just how much the Democrats were stealing, and Republicans were stealing our taxpayer money.
It's high time that gets done. And you know, I often wonder at times, I know Eli is smart, all the good things about him, but that you know, that was going way out on a limb, wasn't it, to hire him?
Right.
Yeah, but people in our...
Because people don't realize he's not really a Republican.
No.
He's if anything, he leans Democrat.
Well, I don't know that. That I didn't know.
Yeah, he leans Democrat, but he was tired of government corruption. Mm-hmm. And most Democrats were. That's why I think Trump swept this election. Mm-hmm. They knew that how corrupt the Biden regime was and how they were destroying the United States, especially with all the illegals coming in and getting our Social Security.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. So I think, you know, right now so many Democrats I talk to are very impatient, those who voted Republican, mm-hmm. because they're saying, hey, we thought he was going to do something about it. Well, he's only been in office 3 months.
No.
And I tell
them more in the 2 months or whatever right. it's been in.
Yeah. It'll be 3 months in a week.
3 months. Okay.
Yeah, the 20th will be 3 months. People are trying to get him to rush, but I tell people as an investigator myself, it takes about 6 months to build a good case. So be patient. I guarantee you they're building cases right now.
They're already talking about a third term for him.
No, they can't do that.
Hogwash. You know who had three terms? Roosevelt.
Yeah, he's probably the last one. Right, and then they changed the law, so that couldn't be done again. But I don't mind J.D. Vance taking over.
Isn't he something?
I love that guy. Did you see the movie? His movie? Oh, Hillbilly, not Ideology, I'm trying to think.
No.
But anyway, he's got a great movie.
I got his book.
I read the book, and we watched the movie. Yeah, I love him.
Guy, very knowledgeable.
Oh, my gosh, smooth.
I guess he can play the piano.
No, I did not know that.
I saw on YouTube that, you know, where they, and he's playing Rhapsody or something like that.
Wow, no, I didn't know he was a pianist.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever said in his book that he played the piano.
No, because they had this big crowd, and somebody came in, a big know-it-all, trying to figure out, yes, well, maybe you can't do this, or maybe you can't, you know.
Yeah.
And so he goes, so the piano starts playing.
Wow, that's cool. Anyway, I'm hoping that I don't have my glasses on, and we're recording, but I'm gonna wrap it up. I just wanted to give Mrs. Knapp a chance to let people know that even at 97, you can be a smart Republican.
I want you to know that what they call me here, living, the name they give me is Mouse.
Wow. See, we have a lot in common, me and Mrs. Knapp. Anyway, I love you, Mom. Thank you for taking the time to talk with me, and you'll be immortalized on, at least on my podcast. It'll probably be, I think it's going to be the 9th podcast for this year, so she'll be the 9th podcast. If anybody wants to go to Spotify, I'm on the Spotify as The Angry Tom. So, and I don't know if Mrs. Knapp ever heard this. I used to be on the radio with a guy named Bill Bennett, and I would get mad at him, and I used to call myself Tomcat. That's what everybody calls me. He goes, no, I'm changing your nickname. You're Angry Tom. So, yeah, because I would always, he'd get me mad. One day he made fun of Rush Limbaugh, and I laid into him. But anyway, so to all the listeners, it was, I hope you enjoyed our chat. And the time that Mona was on the show, I got a lot of feedback where people want her on again. And I can already tell Mrs. Knapp, I'm going to get emails that say, we want that lady on again. So,
and if you want to know how to yodel, Tommy and I will teach you.
Anyway, I try not to sing because I want people's ears to not suffer. Anyway, thank you. God bless and take care.
That was a blessing, a true blessing. That's Mrs. Knapp. She's just such a beautiful woman. And we're blessed to have her. And I just, you know, such an important part of my life. Anyway, we're going to be out of here. Take care.